Hey everyone, welcome to the Grabs Podcast, where we bring the stories of real life rescues to you firsthand from those involved. My name is Grant. I'll be your host today. And with me, I've got Danny Laparo. He is a firefighter for City of Wadsworth in Ohio. It's in Northwest Ohio. We're going to be talking about a grab that he and his crew made on May 13th, 2024. So welcome, Danny. How you doing?
Good, how are you, Grant?
Good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your department?
So I've been a firefighter for a total of 7 years. Started in a small town neighboring the current city I work with, and then about a year and a half ago, I was hired full time with the city of Wadsworth. It's a combination department. We've got 15 current full time employees, and then a slew of part-time slash paid on call employees as well. We run about 3,500 calls a year. We stay pretty busy between two stations. So
And then, what's your search culture like there?
it's not as aggressive as I'd like it to be, but I think a lot of the newer guys that are coming in are making the change, being more eager to train on it and make it more of a priority. But for the most part, searches are done on every fire and very early on in the fire. Usually it's the second in truck that's going in and doing the search.
All right, so tell us what you guys get, what kind of response you get on a normal house fire.
On a normal house fire, at minimum, as long as both stations are in service, you're going to get two engines from our department, and then we have Mavis alarms that include mutual aid from our neighboring cities, depending on what side of our city the call is on.
Does that happen automatically, or do you get a call for extra help outside of your department?
Typically, the first alarm is just our department. And then once it's a confirmed fire, it's pretty much automatically upgraded into our second alarm, which includes all of our mutual aid.
Nice. And then, so if, as you're just getting on the department, as you're bringing new people on, what is the discussion like on how a house fire is going to roll? Like what the initial priorities are and what people's tasks are going to be?
Typically, we actually have this conversation fairly often in the mornings around, table talk and coffee. But typically, what we've come together is that, I mean, our limited manpower is for the first 5 to 10 minutes. We may get those two engines, and a lot of the time, one of those engines is only going to have two people on it. So, our initial response is going to be to search off of our line that first crew that's going in. And then that second crew that's coming in, they would search behind us, as in, their primary search. But our initial priorities would be to find the fire, protect any potential victims from the fire, but search off that line, just because we're going to be limited for, or could be limited for, quite a bit of time.
I think that's an important point that you made. It's get to the fire, protect in place, essentially, and then search off that. And it's not the old school, take a hose line in and we're going to search with the hose line room to room, because that's just, we all know that's not real efficient. Well, cool. Take us to May 13th, 2024, and talk about this room.
So May 13th is about 7:30. It was actually my Kelly day. They had gotten dispatched. The call initially came out. It was weird. They said that a lady had called in saying that her oxygen was on fire in her room, and that they were having trouble communicating with her and trying to get her out of the house. They weren't sure if she was able to get out. And then it was about 2 minutes into that. The line had actually gone. It was an open 911 line. Dispatch was no longer able to communicate with her, but I was actually at home at the time. So I responded from home. I only lived like 3 minutes away from Station One in Wadsworth. So our initial engine was on the road pretty quick, within like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then I showed up with, there were two other people there that showed up at the same time. And then we had taken the ladder from Station One. It's important to mention too, at this point, this call was on the north side of our city, where Station Two is actually the primary station for that. But their station was out of service, already on their way to Akron, as one of the hospitals on an EMS call. So there was nobody actually at Station Two at the time. That crew was out handling another call. So our response time in general from station one was extended. So it was about 6 minutes by the time our first in engine got there. We had rolled with the ladder and we got there in about 6 minutes as well. By that point, engine four got on scene. Their crew made an attempt to go to the second floor. At that point, we had multiple people saying that, the homeowner had not come out. They cannot find the homeowner. So it was pretty much assumed like she was still in there.
Danny, before
They
we go
pointed to the
on, can you hit like what was the building type and construction so the listeners got a good picture of what you guys arrived to?
Yeah, so this is it's a neighborhood where it's mostly 55 and up community. Mostly older people live back there in their townhouses, and there's four of them connected in each row. So she was in one of the middle ones. It was would have been the third one in, and that was the unit that was involved. But it's all light wood frame construction. There are somewhat of fire barriers between them, but again, that construction is all lightweight. So the first in engine, they pulled a line and started making the advance to the second floor. The initial size up was smoke coming from the second floor, delta side, which is for us, that's the rear of the structure. From one of the windows back there, it was heavy black smoke is what they're reporting. That first crew that went in, they immediately encountered hoarder conditions on the second floor. So initially trying to climb over piles of stuff that was also on fire. They were trying to make a hit on the fire as well as trying to get in there and search for a potential victim. We arrived on the ladder and our initial assignment was to go around the back of the structure and deploy ladders to that bedroom window for that crew that was operating on the second floor. When me and my partner, we got around the back, there was already two back there with an extension ladder and a roof ladder. They were getting ready to throw those ladders. And at that point, visibility had improved on the second floor as they were making a knock on the fire. And the smoke had lifted and become lighter from that window. It's like a 4x6 sliding window in this woman's bedroom. And at that point, like we come around a corner and we could see up in that window in the bottom corner what looked like a hand. And we pointed out once we got closer, we could tell that it was actually a hand. The extension ladder was thrown. My partner went up that ladder. The initial plan was he was going to go in, hand her off to me. He went up the extension ladder. Once we got up there and I was behind him, the two that were on the hand line were at that window. They had arrived at that window at the same time that we did. So at that point, the roof ladder was thrown right next to the extension ladder that we were on. I transferred over to the roof ladder and we started taking the rest of that window. In front of that window, covering about half of it, was a hutch dresser with a mirror attached to it. So it was blocking part of that window. So that it also extended just the time it took to open it up, because once we got that window cleared, we still had to get rid of that mirror just to make some space and working room. Because again, these guys inside, they were encountering, very heavy contact conditions, trying to get to her and work around and help lift her out to us. Once that window was cleared, the firefighters on the inside were able to get under her waist and legs and hoist her out to us. And she came out head first, face down directly to me. I had the upper body half, and my partner had her legs. And we just two-man carried, just communicated, carrying her down the both ladders across. And then at that point, we had transitioned into more of a like an EMS carry, how we would lift patients and tried to take her around to the front of the house where the ambulance was. But she was very slippery and it was pretty hard for both of us to maintain a grip. So there was a tree, I remember a tree in the backyard, and we set her under that tree and started CPR there and radioed for EMS to meet us at the back of the house. There was a road that wrapped around, so it was pretty easy to get a squad back there as well.
Nice. What was the weight and size of the victim, you guys think?
She was probably like 5'5", 5'6", and I would say 130 to 140 pounds. She wasn't very big.
Did the
And
crew
she
have
was,
any trouble with the window lift once you'd moved that hutch and mirror?
No, I think other than just exhaustion because of the conditions they had on the inside. So I think that was kind of their last push of energy for them, because we had another crew immediately go in and relieve them once we had a victim out. They continued to search at that point. Once we had come down the ladder, the two that were footing the ladder went up those ladders and went in through the window to continue searching.
Nice. I love that you recognize you had a crew in there, and it's like sometimes firemen, we like dump a million people into an area and everybody wants to get a hand on the victim. But you guys were smart with having two people out. And I love the double ladder thing. Is that something you guys practiced up there or had talked about on the front end?
We had talked about it. I have not practiced it or seen it practiced at Wadsworth yet. But when they do an advanced fire days training, it's hosted by the University of Akron, typically down at Canton Township Fire Department. One of the drills that we run throughout the day is VEIS, and teaching different techniques on VEIS and different ways to remove victims from windows. And one of them was that ladder side by side. If you have two ladders and need the help, you know, utilize it.
Yeah, absolutely solid. What was the timing, do you think? I know you guys, we can't control the first due station being out. We can't control travel distance, but once everybody arrived on scene, it seemed like things went pretty quickly. Do you have any kind of idea what that timeline was?
Once, I think the initial from time of call to actual victim removal, I want to say it was like 11 minutes, 12 wow. minutes. I'm not entirely 100% on that. From the time it took from my truck's arrival to victim removal, I want to say it was probably 4 minutes.
Wow, outstanding.
So it was pretty quick. We arrived around the back, and recognizing that we had a victim and finding the victim was, you know, happened in about a second. So everything after that, we knew what the goal was.
Awesome. What now? So this happens, and we always say, hey, you know, we're here for victims, we're going to do searches, and this is what it's about. And then oftentimes I hear when we get this call that everybody's shocked, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that there was actually one. What has been post fire the response with the department on training, on reinforcing what you guys are doing? What's that done to your guys' department?
I think from the other shifts and the people that we work with, the response was good. We definitely had hot washed and debriefed that fire multiple times, figuring out, you know, what went right, what went wrong. We had a big department training about it, you know, explaining, you know, the needs and importance for continuing to train and search. And, you know, these things do happen. You know, we don't get them a ton in our city. We don't run a lot of fires. But this is something that does happen. So reinforcing the importance of training for it, it has definitely been one of the responses.
That's awesome. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it. That was a busy night in Wadsworth. That was the first of two fires. We had a commercial fire, I think, about an hour after that. And so it doesn't happen very often around here, but when it rains, it pours.
That's nice. Just one more fire before the shift's up. That's what we're. So to anybody listening out there, if you get a grab, we want you to go to www.firefighterrescuesurvey.com, fill out that survey. That information is for us, by us, helps us capture the wins, and steers us in a direction of where we should put our training. If you want to record a Grabs podcast, you can get a hold of me, Justin McWilliams, Nick Ledeen, Ben Schultz, or J-Lo, or grabspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll schedule that up. So till next time, thanks for listening. Going, going.